Well, it is with grateful hearts that we're able to be back in the house of the Lord today. We did miss being here last Lord's Day, but we had, I believe, good service and enjoyed being with Brother Barber's congregation last Lord's Day. And they expressed their appreciation for us coming and being with them. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. Today, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. The book of Jude. I want to speak to you this morning concerning about being a nominal Christian. And I believe that Jude here is teaching against being a nominal Christian. And so, in Jude, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord, the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord has saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believed not. And the angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, and he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I would like to speak this morning concerning that we are to be the best Christian that we can be, and a child of God. Nominal Christianity is not pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see here that Jude here is saying that he is bringing them back into remembrance. And he told them of the common salvation. Now that means that the salvation that they had, that Jesus Christ had brought in his person and work and death, burial, and resurrection was the common salvation. That is not meaning that it's not important, but it is common to all men, how people are, how that God's elect are saved is through the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's not only talked to them about that, but he said, I exhort you, to that you contend for the faith. Now this means that we are to be diligent. That means that we are to be about the Father's business. Jesus and our Lord and Savior's business. So Jude here is saying, fight, contend, do battle. Now we know that the Scripture teaches that the elect of God we are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. And we can see that going on in our nation today. So, Jude here is saying when apostasy arises and when false teachers emerge and when the truth of God is attacked, it is time for us to fight, to stand up and make a stand for the things of the Lord. Believers, only believers who are spiritually in shape can do this. That's the reason it's so important that we teach and preach the infallible Word of God, that the Word of God might could be shed abroad in our hearts and lives, that we might not sin against God. So just a nominal Christian can't stand against the wiles and the temptations and the methods of the devil. That we have to be close and grounded in the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These dangers that we see in our world today is dangerous, is real. False teachers, and we can see this, have crept in churches, turning God's grace into an unbounded license to do as they please. And I think that's where we as the Church of the Living God needs to be strong in teaching of what a true born again, spirit-filled believer should be. Nominal Christianity. A nominal Christian finds Christ useful. They just like for Christ to be there when they need it. A true Christian finds Christ precious and beautiful and honorable. So, what is nominal Christianity? Nominalism can be understood as possessing a name ultimately meaningless due to its empty formality. Thus, a nominal Christian is simply, though they are simple, so they may attend church services or may believe some of the doctrines that is being taught, but they have a lack of true relationship with Jesus Christ. And has failed to surrender their entirety of their lives to the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the way of genuine faith and repentance. We don't hear much about repentance today. People come in, profess Christ, and want to join the church. There's very little ever mentioned in general Christianity about our repentance. Are we sorry for what we've done? Sin against God. And have a genuine, regenerated, spirit-filled fellowship, our relationship and fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, We see here an incident that the Lord is talking here about the church of Sardis. And they kind of are an example of what I am talking about this morning in Revelations 3 and 1. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and are dead." You know, we like to claim and put on a show physically, and so people can see. But is that a genuine coming from the heart, a feeling that we have in serving God? He said that, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but are dead." I believe that we have a lot of professing Christians today who are walking dead folk. True Christianity calls for the believer to daily take up their cross and follow Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a one day a week proposition. Christianity is a 24/7 commitment to Jesus Christ. In Luke 9:23 it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Christians must actively oppose the evils of the world. Now, I don't necessarily believe in going out and demonstrating and stuff like that, but we do need to make a stand and let people know what our stand is concerning our faith in this Word of God, as Brother Herb has already alluded to, that we are to make some stand sometime against the evils of this world. Matthew says that we are to show forth our fruits, that the world might see them, that they might, what? Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So that's the purpose of us as a child of God, is to be that we are to bring honor and glory unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our everyday lives and not be a hypocrite about it. Be honest about it. Don't live a lie. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service." So, nominal Christianity are churchgoers, or otherwise religious people whose faith does not go beyond being identified with a church. That's far as it goes, is that they come and just join the church and be identified with it and then go on about our everyday lives. So that was what was happening, I believe, in the time of Jude here, that there were people that had crept in to the churches and to the lives of the Lord's people and was teaching them Said it doesn't make any difference. Says you can just go ahead about all your sinful living and live like you want to, and not worry about the judgment of God and about the things that God has laid down in His Word for us to do. So, the study of the book of Job, the purpose of it is to remind the church of the need for constant vigilance, to keep strong in the faith, and to oppose heresy. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that we are to walk circumspectly before the Lord. That means that we are to be alert, that when you're walking down a path, that you are to walk looking on each side of you and over your shoulders to be alert to see what is happening for your surroundings. Because the Scripture says that the devil, he is as a roaring lion who is going to and fro upon the earth, seeking whom he may devour or destroy or annihilate. He wants to annihilate you as a child of God. So we need to keep strong in the faith, and that we stand against any false teachings or heresy that might come our way. We know Jude here was the author of Jude. He was the brother of Jesus and James, or the half-brothers. This book was written to Jewish Christians and all believers everywhere. You know, the Scripture applies as much to us today as it did for them back in Jude's day, and in the day that Jesus was on this earth. And it was approximately written around A.D. 65. So, for the settings, the setting of this book is that for the first century, only church has been threatened by heresy and false teachers. That we must always be on guard against. Well, Timothy, I believe it is, it tells us that we're living in dangerous times. And the last days will be dangerous times, or perilous times. And that things will grow worse and worse. So that's the reason that we got to stay in the Word and grow closer to the Lord. Because as things grow worse, we're going to need to be closer to the Lord. The key verse in Jude is verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So Jude here was writing to motivate the Christians everywhere to action. We don't need to be a passive Christian. We need to be active in the things of God. Second Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. This is what we are to have our minds set upon, is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And at the end, we'll be the final consummation of our salvation. Jude was writing against godless teachers who were saying that Christians could do as they please without fear of the judgment of God. While few teachers teach this heresy openly in the churches today, many in the churches act as though they were true believers. This letter contains a warning against living a nominal Christian life. In Colossians 2 and 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So it is that when we have been born again, that we are new creatures in Christ, then it is that we are to walk as He walks, and to live as He lives. In 1 John 2 and 6 says, "He that saith that he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." That's a responsibility and a goal that we have, that we are to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. False teachers have crept into the churches, turning God's grace into an unbounded license to do as we please, and teaching folks that they don't have to follow the Word of God and live as God has laid down in the Word. They'll be all right. Everything's all right. But what they miss, the point is, that a true child of God, it is by our lives and our good works, is that we confirm that our what we profess with our mouth is true or not. Because the Lord says it's not what goes into a person that defiles, but it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Why? Because what comes out of us is what we really are from the heart. So our actions show forth what and who we really are. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 it says what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we have been bought with a price. We're not our own. We are not to live like we want to. We have to live the way that God has laid down for us to live as His true child of God. So, Paul talks about that we are a bond slave. Before we was born again, we were a bond slave to sin. But now, we are a bond slave of Jesus Christ. We have been bought. The price has been paid by Jesus Christ on the Calvary for our sins, that we are to live and to show forth that in our everyday lives. So if we claim to be a born again child of God, and we habitually live in sin every day, we're living a lie. So, this was Jude's message to the Christians at that day. Opposition would come, and godless teachers would arise. But Christians should contend for the faith by rejecting all falsehoods and immorality. And Brother Herb has mentioned some of those things that we are to stay away from in the world in which we live. The danger of false teachers. Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, persecute, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. The Greek word here for servant is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. It literally means slave, and conveys the picture of a bondage who belongs to another person. So 2 Peter 1 and 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So we see here that these apostles and prophets speak of themselves as a metaphor of complete dedication. Not just a nominal servant of God, but they describe themselves as being something on a higher level. Nominal Christianity means to be on the lower end of the totem pole. It's not to where we should be. So that should be what we strive for as the true people of God. Sanctified by God the Father. The Old Testament verb here of Q-A-D-A-S-H, Kodesh, to sanctify, to be holy. Now, in the primary stem of the verb signifying an act whereby or a state wherein people or things are set aside for the worship of God. They are consecrated or made sacred. So, sanctified by the blood of Christ. That means that we have been set apart for a service in God's kingdom. Just like the priests, they were sanctified by a ceremony of sprinkling of blood and purifying symbolically of the blood of Christ, and they were set apart for the service of God. Exodus 29 and 21 says, And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkling it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. So they were set aside, sanctified for the service of God. Old Testament. The noun mikdash, M-I-Q-D-A-S, kadesh, represents a sacred place or a sanctuary. A place set aside by men upon God's direction and acceptance as the place where He meets them and they worship Him. So this is what we have here today. As they were in the Old Testament, they set apart the temple, the tabernacle, for the service and the worship of Almighty God. That is what has happened here at our church, that we have dedicated this place here, and we have sanctified it for the worship of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we need to always be faithful in teaching and preaching of the pure Word of God. Exodus 15:17 says, "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of their inheritance, in the place, O Lord, where Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established." New Testament sanctification. The noun for that is hagios, H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S, means separation to God. We have been separated from the world to God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Verse 31, "that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So that is our purpose as a true Christian, is that we should have the mindset to always do what we do to praise the Lord or to honor and glorify Him. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth." 1 Peter 1:2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling in the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." So, the course of life benefiting those who are set apart or separated unto God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Immoral acts that we are to cleanse ourselves. "That every one of you should know or understand how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Now, I know that that word holy, sometimes a lot of people shy away from that word holiness. But the Scripture says, without holiness, we're not going to see the Lord. So, Romans 6:19-22. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. See the difference? That after we've been born again, we yield our members to the bad things, to unholiness. But now we are to yield our members unto righteousness and unto holiness. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. Now, we have been born of the Spirit of God. We have eternal life. Now, eternal life means that it had no beginning and no ending, I guess. Our eternal life began in eternity past, with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I say that, look at salvation or eternal life or salvation in past, present, and future. Now, we were saved in the purpose and the plan of God before the foundations of the world. And in the purpose and the plan of God that He had in that plan for Jesus Christ to come on the scene in the person of the only begotten Son of God, to go to Calvary, shed His blood, to die, and to be raised again on the third day for our justification. Since that time, I am being saved. Until Jesus Christ comes back in the consummation of that will be the end of my salvation or eternal life. It'll be complete then. We won't need all of that like we need it today, because we will be in the very presence of Almighty God throughout eternity. And so that's a blessing to know that Jesus Christ, He said that He that hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, we as children of God are to be faithful. Children of God. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So, sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter in by faith in Christ. Now, we know that we have been quickened. We have been granted faith. Through that faith, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 13 and 12 says, wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Sanctification used in the New Testament is the separation of the believer from evil things and ways. That we are to be set apart. Sanctification is of God's will for the elect of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication or from all manner of sexual lust and immorality. God's purpose in calling His people by the gospel. In verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We are not, when we have been born again. Now we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because He died a vicarious death, and that the Scripture says that we have no righteousness of our own, but they are as filthy rags. But the true righteousness that we have is by Jesus Christ, and that is imputed to us because of Jesus Christ. First Thessalonians 4 and 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Isaiah 28:9-10 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Now, I don't believe that we are necessarily holy when we have been born again, but we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, holiness, I don't know, Brother Hurd can straighten me out if I'm wrong on this, but holiness, I believe, is having to do with our holy lives and actions as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we become holy when we get closer to the Lord and that we are living for Him. Now, but righteousness is given to us because of what Christ has done for us. Now we are, I believe, a responsible individual to God. And that God holds us responsible for our actions. Because if He didn't, there would not be a judgment day. So it should behoove us as a child of God that we serve Him and work for Him, and our lives be conformed to to His ways and to His life and His ways, that we might become holy and without blame before Him in love. John 17:17 and verse 19 says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." That's the reason it's so important that we teach the truth of God's word. That we have to teach that in order to have salvation is that we got to be, we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and that we have to be quickened and raised from the dead in order that we might hear this word here and come to realize that we are lost sinners and stand in need of a Savior. And this is all done by the immediate quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And then that we are to live our everyday lives in accordance to this word. Psalm 17:4 says, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of destruction." Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." It must be pursued by the believer earnestly, unswayingly, with loyalty and devotion. We're not to be a nominal Christian. We are to be one that is diligent, that we're seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can be the very best child of God that we can be as a human being here on this earth with His help and His mercy and His grace. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, "To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with His saints." So, God doesn't expect us to be a nominal Christian. I believe that Jude here is teaching that we are to be more than that. That's the reason that he said, "I've taught you and I've taught you about the common salvation." But then he come back and says, you need to be in remembrance that you need to contend for the faith. That means that we are to be in a warfare. That we are to be fighting for the cause of Christ and make a stand according to His word and to be a child of God that would be pleasing unto Him. Heavenly Father, as we approach Your throne today, we come thanking You, Lord, that You are God and that salvation is by You and that our preservation is by You. And all things that we have and are privileged to see and to have in this life is because of You. And Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us, that we would be not passive Christians, but we would be a Christian that would be active, be diligent about Your work that would be pleasing unto You. And Heavenly Father, I pray for lost sinners today that You might see fit, send Your Holy Spirit to them, to quicken them by Your Spirit, and to show them where they stand in need of a Savior, and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, it is in His name that I pray. And for His sake I ask. Amen.